Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Charles Robinson is going to join us in a half hour from now. He's the outstanding football writer from Yahoo. He's the one who wrote a column yesterday that Philly could be a landing spot for Justin Fields. Said some good, I believe he was at the Combine, too.
I'm surprised with the regularity of a call from Philly Sid that he hasn't called in to respond to that conversation.
I think maybe because I chastised him how many times he's been called.
I don't think that bothered
him. And I love how many times he calls, too. I love when everyone calls a lot. The more the merrier, and the more you listen, that's awesome. The more you participate, that's great, too. Let's take a bunch of calls so then we can get to Aki's A-List here quickly. So let's do lightning round of calls. I know a lot of people's been patient. We've had Louis Riddick on the show. If you missed him, the entire conversation's on the ESPN Chicago app. It's also available on our YouTube channel. It's youtube.com, and then search ESPN Chicago. He was outstanding, and I'll share a portion of that with you a little bit later. Sheik on the West Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Sheik?
Greetings and salutations, gentlemen. I was told to hurry up, but I have to say, Waddle, it's an absolute pleasure to hear your voice in person on the phone. You're one of my favorite Bears.
Oh, that's kind of you. Thank you.
Like Doug Buffone said, Neanderthal gene, and you definitely have it.
I'll take that as a compliment, Sheik.
Yes, and Sylvie, you're awesome too. But anyway, so the Redskins, within the last couple hours, finally traded Howell, and they recouped a third-round pick for Howell. That's the net. There was multiple picks, but basically they got a third-round pick for Howell. There's no way anybody can tell me, and I'm not putting my camp in Fields or Williams or Daniels or anybody, that the Commanders aren't something. They already have a deal or something with the Bears.
Why are you ringing it? He didn't say it.
He's going for the haul.
First of all, it's not our bet.
So what?
It's not. But because it's not our.
Say it, Sheik. Say it. You want the haul from Washington.
I'm going to stroke out.
That's what. Yes, because they have six picks, top 100, right, and a first rounder next year. Honestly, even if the Redskins get Caleb and they give us those picks, they're going to still have a pick that ends up in the top 10 picks next year. We could be in the same situation with our first pick, that one, and if we trade down from two, we might have three, and there's already two second rounders next year, and Darnell Mooney.
That's the double haul.
Fourth round pick next year.
Why don't you get a double bell?
Right, Sheik you want the haul. Sheik wanted the haul. He wants to trade to Washington and then trade down to the Patriots for the haul.
All right. Is it Sager in Elmhurst?
Yeah, Sager.
Sager. Okay, what's up, Sager?
Hey, Sylvie, just want to talk about Yurko's spring trading the other day, and Yurko being the champion of competition. His story made no sense with Brett Favre, where Mike Holmgren pretty much said, you know, Favre, I got your back. You don't need to look over your shoulder. That's the exact opposite of competition. He's doing what we want to do with Caleb, say, hey, Caleb, you don't have to look over your shoulder. There's no competition. You just be the guy, which is what his story was about Favre. So I feel like Yurko's story made no sense there.
It was funny. Yeah, like... He was trying to say that Favre still never really clinched the job, and there was a time that Detmer and also who ended up
Mikowski
or Mark Brunell? Brunell, yeah, Brunell was threatening Favre, but then finally Holmgren came to him and he said, "Look, you're my guy. No matter what, we're gonna win or we're gonna." Lose with you, and I'm going to go down with you, even if you. And so
that's not a competition. That's a promising of a job.
And he was trying to sell that as competition. Is that what you're saying,
yeah.
Sager?
Yeah, he was selling it as competition.
Defend yourself, Yurko. Call
Sager. Thank you.
Thank you.
Could have used you 2 days ago, Sager. Thank you, though, Eric. In Orlando, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Eric?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, you can put down that bell. I'm not going to mention the Hall.
You're thinking about it, though. You're thinking about the Hall, aren't you?
No, I am not. I am not thinking about the Hall.
I told you, the hell with the Hall.
The hell with the Hall. I'm with you on that. So I'm really baffled with the current situation with Justin. I know everyone is. It's really kind of killed my productivity lately. I can't stop thinking about it.
Really? You've not gotten work done over the Justin Fields situation?
You know what? I work from home, and I'm a marketer, so I'm staring at my screen a lot. And so, yeah, it's pretty distracting. I'm not going to lie.
Do you want the Hall? Do you want to trade the pick and get the Hall?
Put the bell down.
Hell no. All right. So I'm starting to think that there's possibly two things happening here, and I'm curious if you guys feel that one of these is the reality of the situation. So let me just break down both of them. The first one is I think maybe Poles' asking price for Justin was just too high and it scared teams. So we know that Poles loves Justin. He's talked very highly of him. And maybe that's led to an overvalue. So maybe that's the first scenario. And then the other scenario, I don't think many people are talking about, but I'm really curious about. Poles has maybe pre-decided to not agree to trade till after Caleb's pro day and then closer to the draft. So we know that Poles, you know, he's a big process guy. He knew there were going to be a ton of transactions during free agency, but he's a process guy. He wants to go through the process, do the evaluations. So I don't know. Do you think one of those two could be what's happening?
I would say I have no idea about whether or not he has set the price too high. I don't have any insight into that. And I would just say, I get it. I don't think you should ever do anything in a hasty fashion. Don't do it hastily. But if you were waiting for it, it looks like, you know, I mean, we were talking about how many seats are going to be left when the music stops. There have been, what, 16 quarterbacks move and have been signed?
Is that what it is?
Wasn't it 16? Didn't you say that?
16, yeah.
16. Wow. So, I mean, I get doing your due diligence and being, you know, what do they say, measure twice, cut once? I get all of that, but if it costs you the opportunity to make a move, you've just got to be comfortable with the result of that. I have no idea. I mean, you heard Lewis Riddick. Lewis Riddick anchors the draft with Greeny, and he's, at this point, is kind of baffled with the situation. He's got more contacts than us.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Let's take one more, then get to Aki's A-List. Michael in Florida, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Michael?
Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your work.
Yes, sir.
I've got two big reasons Ryan Poles is fooling us all and is going to keep Fields and trade the number one pick.
The Hall!
So things that we know but we're forgetting from many months ago, Justin Fields' passer rating, 134. 72% completion percentage, 8 TDs, 1 interception when he threw to DJ Moore. If we add Marvin Harrison, he'll have 2 top-notch targets. He's a more than capable QB, and Ryan Poles knows it. The second biggest thing we're forgetting, and I heard it on this channel months ago, when the Bears first were notified that they got the pick number one overall, Poles said that last year he felt he traded too early during the combine to Carolina, and this year he'd be tempted to take it all the way down to the draft to maximize the number one pick at the Hall. So I think we need to stay patient, calm, and be ready. And I heard you guys say this. I think we just need to revert back, stay out of the Caleb Williams vortex, and trust in Poles.
Okay, I will. Look, it would surprise me. Nothing would shock me. It would surprise me a great deal. Nothing would shock me. And it would show you what a great secret they could keep.
What was the first mantra of this entire situation that you and I have lived by for months?
Just get it right.
Okay. I don't know if everybody can pledge to pulling on the same end of the rope if whatever decision is made is contrary to what you had hoped for. I would hope that you could. If they decide to trade the number one overall pick for the Hall and stick with Justin, I will sit here and tell you that I was wrong about my interpretation of what I thought they were going to do.
Sure, sure.
And I'd be happy to do it. You know, there have been plenty of times I've sat in this chair and been wrong.
All the insiders there won't, it would be really the first time that every insider would be wrong. Right? There hasn't been one insider who says, well, wait a minute, guys. The Bears could do anything here.
Yeah.
There hasn't been one guy to say
Listen,
that.
You know where else I was wrong? I was wrong. I thought they were signing Danielle Hunter. Wrong. I was wrong. I was wrong.
Well, but wait. I mean, you were hopeful that they were signing Danielle.
I thought they were going to sign Danielle Hunter.
But you were basing that on what?
On the fact that they could use a second pass rusher and his contract wasn't going to be anything like what the three techniques were getting?
That's not on intel.
I didn't have any intel.
No, right.
I don't have any intel about the quarterback.
The intel is just by listening to the insiders.
Well, they're not always right.
I don't remember. What's the last story that you remember where they're unanimous? Every insider. Where not one person is saying, guys.
I'm going to have to get back to you.
Like, seriously, Meller, Tyler, do you remember a story where if they do go and they trade the pick, where, like, Peter King, I think, is the only guy who has suggested he thinks they're going to keep Fields.
When he said he had no intel.
It was no intel and strictly a guest. I think Glazer, Rappaport. Albert Breer.
Look, it makes sense to me. It's Schefter, the reason why I expect it to happen. And I still expect it to happen. If it doesn't happen, guess what? Then all of us were wrong. Okay? Do you think that there's going to be people in droves coming to the radio station to say they were wrong if, in fact, the trade was made? Those that want the Hall and have lived and breathed for number one over the course of the last several months?
I don't care about that, though.
Well, I don't either. I'm just saying, like, being able to... Look, I have no idea how it's going to go right now. I thought it would have already been done. I thought they would have already made this decision and made this trade.
All right, let's get to Aki's A-List.
Time for Aki's A-List. From the mind of the man who understands the four P's of Waddle's world, Aki's A-List. The top questions and topics floating around in Tyler Aki's mind.
Are these really the questions that I was called here to answer?
Aki's A-List on ESPN Chicago.
All right, Tyler, what do you got for us today?
All right, so the Bears have officially lost out on DJ Wonnum. He is headed to the Carolina Panthers on a two-year, $12.5 million deal. He was supposed to head out to Chicago and have a visit up at Hallis Hall. That is not happening now. One of the other intriguing names on the market that was released yesterday was Mike Williams, and the Bears obviously have a pretty sizable need at wide receiver, too. I ask you guys, is it Mike Williams or bust for the rest of free agency for Ryan Poles?
No, I don't think so. I don't know what it is anymore.
Maybe it's a trade.
I don't know what he's looking to spend the money on. Have the Bears been connected to Mike Williams?
I have not heard that. Jonathan Jones kind of laid out the breadcrumbs of why it works yesterday.
Well, obviously, their new wide receiver coach was in Los Angeles as the Chargers wide receiver coach.
I would think the medicals would have a big play in this on where he is on his knee rehab. But I don't know. I don't. Who unless Sweat's one of their guys at... Josh Sweat from the Eagles, who's been released. But I don't know if there's really anybody that they must have.
I wouldn't rule out a trade. Look, they started this thing with a trade for Ryan Bates.
And that's how they got Montez Sweat right. in a trade.
Right. So I wouldn't rule out a trade.
You got to think, too, what do they really have to give up anymore?
Well, you're right. They've only got, what, five draft picks left? Future draft picks?
Yeah, and two of them are in the first round.
Carolina's picked next year.
Right, I mean, next year's future draft pick.
Obviously, you have a full stable next year, but a lot of these teams probably want current capital.
I wasn't expecting them to spend like drunken sailors, but I did believe that they would have a signature free agent signing.
Yes.
But look, I think that they look at the Montez Sweat trade and the signing of Montez Sweat as part of their... their you know, activity.
Yeah, I mark this down. I think they're going to market the Sweat deal and Jalen Johnson signing as the two big moves of free agency, along with then Swift and along with Byard.
I get it, and I to some degree I can understand what they're saying, but re-signing Jalen Johnson and Montez Sweat doesn't make you better. They were already part of your defense and doing really good things previously. Getting better would mean replacing somebody else on your defense or offense that would give you an upgrade. They just maintained two really, really good players and kept the retain would be a better word.
By the way, A.J. Dillon is returning to the Packers. They're re-signing him, so they're pairing him with Jacobs.
Okay.
After they got rid of Jones.
But did they trade for Justin?
We had a new mock draft from The Athletic, from Deontay Lee. It has the Bears trading up to 5 to draft Rome Odunze. I want to ask you guys, so of the three options of what the Bears can do with 9, trade up, trade back, or stand pat, what are, in order from most likely to least likely, will the Bears do in terms of where they will be picking with that 9th pick?
I think trading back is number one. Staying pat as long as one of the wide receivers are there. And then I think trading up is the least likely because of what they've got.
I would just flip-flop your first and second. I would say standing pat is my first choice. Trading back would be second. Trading up would be third.
But it's dependent on who's there, don't you think?
Well, of course. But I'm still going. I'm going to anticipate that either Neighbors or Odunze is going to be there at 9. I'm not moving up for one of the wide receivers.
No way.
That makes me a coward probably to certain folks as well, but I'm going to cowardly say I'm not moving up for one of them.
I'm not moving up for a wide receiver in the strongest wide receiver draft in years. It doesn't make any sense to me.
No. Or you could use that pick on who's the guy from Philly?
Devontae Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We
can
go that route. Yeah.
Let's do it.
I loved that, your defiant response when we both said no. That was great.
Well, you guys had the defiant response of no.
Oh, no.
No, it was like a no.
Yeah. And then you were like, oh, my God. Are you crazy? I think we were 3-0 in terms of
Okay.
Mellor agreed with us.
Yeah, I know he agreed with you. I wasn't surprised that you guys necessarily said no. I was surprised you said no, like, I shot your dog. Like,
yeah, my dog's struggling right now, too, so that's...
Yeah. Keep Waddle's dog out your mouth. Yeah.
Sorry, I apologize for that. Anyway, Hoodie this morning had a fantastic rant about the Chicago White Sox on the heels of the Dylan Cease trade that went down yesterday during Crosstalk.
Folks, this ball club, with very little starting pitching and bereft of run producers, this team is not going to be very good. As a matter of fact, this team is going to be brutal. Last year, this ball club was 61-100. In 1932, they were 49-102. In 1948, my beloved Chicago White Sox, 51-101.
Damn!
In 1970, the White Sox were 56-106.
Damn!
You remember in 2018, this ball club was 62-100.
Wow.
Can I just tell you, folks? The Chicago White Sox lost 106 games in 1970. Cease is gone. The Sox will lose as many games. Hat in hand, looking for a new stadium. But sure, just be half pregnant on the rebuild. Half pregnant. Sox fans, you want to change. No more Rick Hahn. No more Kenny Williams. Well, this is what it looks like, folks. One of the worst teams in the minor leagues, and also in the major leagues here right now. The Chicago White Sox. Folks, all you have to watch is Aloy falling into a basket, getting injured 3 times this season. Luis Robert, a star that no one knows. And you're going to the ballpark, not looking for a seat, but your own section. Well, here it is, Sox fans. Cease is a Padre, and I'm following along with Dylan Cease.
Oh, you got a Padre shirt on!
That's it. Breaking point. She's gone. I'm gone. So long, everybody. From Chicago.
Can we get you back?
Cap, when you trade Dylan Cease, that'll be all. I don't mean for today, for the season. It's like that Simpsons gif where a guy comes in the bar and he goes right out of the bar because he knows the season's over. Cap, that'll be all. When Cease is there, you have no one to watch on the mound. Tuki Toussaint?
Damn.
Tuki Toussaint. That's what they have, Cap. Michael Kopech, pissed off after two-thirds of an inning, giving up 8 runs. Throws the ball right over the middle, like room service at a 5-star hotel. Cap?
Damn.
I'm following along Dylan Cease in San Diego. There's going to be a lot of late nights for the kid because I'm going to be watching Padre baseball. That's what I'll be watching. Sorry, Stoney. Sorry, Sox. You drew a line in the sand and I will as well. You're unwatchable. You're not any good. 1970, here we come. 106 losses that year. Look for more at 35th and Beck. Thank you. Let me just tell you something.
How great was that?
That was fabulous. That was great. He's late to the party, isn't he, Meller? Meller's been a Padre fan for over a year now.
Listen, man, the San Diego fan base, we're not going to shun Hoodie. We're gonna welcome him with open arms. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get him a throwback Tony Gwynn jersey.
That's good.
And me and Hoodie, we're going to be exchanging texts on the Padres going forward all season long.
The Fernando Padres Tatis, chat board.
Manny Machado, Dylan Cease. In a parallel universe, they've all been White Sox anyway, so why not? It's like
I
got to
ask a question. I guess the trade of Dylan Cease was just the tipping point, but I would be like,
why now?
Why now? Like, you could have made that conclusion well before Dylan Cease had a 5 ERA last year. Wasn't he in the mid-fours or a high-fours?
Yeah, high-fours.
It wasn't fun watching him pitch last year.
I tried to convert my oldest son last night.
Oh, well, you just
I said, hey, I go, Mace, did you hear about Dylan Cease? He goes, yeah, I heard they let him go. I go, yeah, it was a trade. I go, now's a good time to come on over to the Cubs. You want to be a Cubs fan? He said, no way.
So I'm going to be a Padres fan.
He's sticking through it.
Is that the official team of the White Sox defects? San Diego Padres?
The one thing I'll say is early returns, the White Sox got themselves quite a haul.
Yeah.
For Dylan Cease.
Couple of pitchers.
If you're a prospect
hound.
Got
you some a couple of pitchers?
I mean, three pitchers and a hitter.
Someone says, I got to have more hall bell.
Yeah, would you at least, come on, ring it.
No.
Ring the hall bell. I'm trying to be kind.
I think our name for the people who want the hall, trade for the holics.
Someone just tweeted us and said that they've got a philosophy as to why the Bears are saving cap room. Like, people believe
to sign Justin to a big long term contract extension.
No, it's because like they're making a trade with the Giants, and who's their pass rusher? Is it pronounced Thibodeau?
Kayvon Thibodeau. Yeah.
Yeah. So like because they're saving cap room because like a player comes back with. Their first round picks.
The Giants just traded for Brian Burns so they could team him up with Thibodeau.
Well, they're gonna team him up with their new quarterback, and then Thibodeau and the ones come back here.
When they
draft a Caleb Williams. So like there's conspiracy theories as to why Ryan Poles has played this very slowly in free agency. Is because he's getting a boatload of draft picks. And that's why he hasn't filled the needs, because he's going to fill these needs through the draft.
What's he going to do with the money?
Well, like he's going to pay a guy like Thibodeau or a player in return.
Okay.
Like he got in DJ Moore last year.
Right. How many times are we going to go scoreless offensively in the final 8 games of the season next year? Probably not anymore.
You're going to get... You know, probably Marvin Harrison Jr. or one of those players.
Okay. All right.
We've been spun so silly in the city. Like, Everyone is thinking backwards at this point.
I'm
Benjamin Albright? Is that his name?
Uh-huh.
Did you see what
he
tweeted?
Denver?
Yeah.
I did not. What did he say?
He said, and then I know we got to get to Charles Robinson. He says, the Bears will find a new home for Justin Fields eventually. The whole situation reminds me of the whole, quote, the Broncos don't need to pursue Peyton Manning. They have Tim Tebow thing that some fans were trying. Because he covers the Denver Broncos. And there was a day when, remember, Manning's coming off of the bad neck. He didn't play that year.
Right.
His arm wasn't what it was. And all these Broncos fans were like, oh, no, we're good. We got Tebow. And they didn't want Peyton Manning. There were some that didn't want Peyton Manning.
Well, those people are foolish.
And that's what he's comparing the Bears situation to right now, with wanting to stay the course with Justin and not taking Caleb Williams. So we'll talk to Charles Robinson about all this, and that's coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie are back. Follow the show on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
My buddy Perry said, he goes, comparing Tim Tebow and Justin Fields is just embarrassing and wrong. I'm like, you want a playoff game? And
he did. I was going to say the same thing, and then I realized, yeah, he did win a playoff game.
And then I looked at his stats. And I just quizzed the guys. I go, the year that Tim Tebow started and won a playoff game, his completion percentage was 46.5%. 46.5% completion percentage.
Because his offensive coordinator failed him and didn't put him in the right position. Didn't have enough around him.
He had a QBR of 38.6.
Timmy, are you sure you're left-handed?
But yet they beat the Bears that year and won a playoff game. Charles Robinson does great work on Yahoo. We had him on right at the end of the Bears season, right around the holidays. It was the day that we had the parody song contest.
Yes.
In December.
Yes, we were in Rosemont for that day,
yes.
I believe.
And that was the day that he came out with the really great article when he researched and reached out to executives around the league, general managers, and asked them, hey, what should the Bears do? Should they keep Justin or should they draft Caleb Williams? And I believe he ended up reaching 10 general managers. I think 9 out of 10 said they should draft Caleb Williams. So now we're much further down the road, and we're looking to see what they're going to do. Most believe they're going to draft Caleb Williams. We're trying to see where Justin Fields is going to end up. And Charles Robinson had an article yesterday that I retweeted where he says, hey, Philly could be a landing spot. So we thought, let's have Charles talk about this. And he joins us right now on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Charles, how you feeling today?
I'm good. This is a really, really popular piece amongst the Justin Fields stands. They're very, very pleased.
Like, do you get the blowback too?
yeah. It's I think I got killed in December when I pulled the GMs. I got killed by the Justin Fields crowd. And then this, I get killed by the Justin Fields crowd because they're like, you know, he's a starter. He's not a backup. He's a starter. And I'm like, read the market. Like, read the market. Talk to teams. Talk to the GMs. Find them a spot, you know. And every indication is there's no starting spot for Justin Fields right now. And if you're – I don't think it's a good idea to put both of these guys in the same locker room. Maybe I'd feel different if Fields was unpopular. It's the opposite,
right.
You know, from everything, every indication I've gotten, he's very, very popular in that locker room. And I just don't think you can, you can't bring in a guy, the number one pick in the draft, the presumed starter, the guy who you're going to build the offense for, and then, you know, put him in the same room with a guy who's already popular. Like, it's naturally human beings are going to side up. Right. And then they're going to get asked about this guy versus that guy. And the two guys are going to get asked by us repeatedly about each other. And, you know, when camp opens or mini camp or whatever it is, what are we going to do? What do we do? We count. Oh, so-and-so went 7-11 with the first team. So-and-so went 6 for, 15. That's you know how I know this happens? Because I went to training camp and I watched Brock Purdy this summer. I was in camp there for Brock Purdy and Trey Lance. And literally, we all sat there and we're like, okay, he's with the first team. Let's see how he does. Oh, okay, let's see. He's with the first team. Let's see how. Oh, my God, Brock threw an interception. So what does that mean? Like, and the Niners, you get sick of it. They get, you just get tired of having that, kind of back and forth, particularly when you know that, got this guy. He's the number one guy. You get sick of, your guys getting asked repeatedly, well, what about this? What about that? When can you move him? What's his market? It's just not a...
It's not healthy for anybody.
Not a very... Yeah, it's not. That's exactly right. It's not good for Fields either.
Yeah.
No, it's not good for Caleb or Fields.
Yeah, we're like-minded, Charles. I mean, we've been saying this for days now. Look, I mean, it's not about not wanting a competition. It doesn't work.
No,
I don't think it's a good decision.
Competition.
Right.
No.
I know, and this is what people are saying. It's not good for Fields. It's not good for Caleb Williams.
People think we're soft, Charles. Yeah. People say you don't like competition.
Soft, yeah, I don't know.
Wait, who said? Somebody reputable said that?
No, it's just Twitter people.
No. Yurko.
He didn't say soft, did he?
Yeah, well, Yurko, who played for the Packers, thinks that, competition, Joniak, Jeff Joniak, who does the Bears games, who's going to join us at 6, thinks, it's good, healthy competition. Jim Miller thinks good, healthy competition is good.
Guys, it's not a competition when you select a quarterback with the number one pick in the draft, okay? Let's go ahead and put that away, all right? You don't, if you select a quarterback number one overall in the draft, and you say, well, now we want him to compete for the job, and you mean as in compete and potentially never win the job? That's competition. That's real competition. The competition you're describing is BS.
Right.
That's total BS. That's not real competition.
No.
It's rigged. It's a rigged competition. You want to bring Caleb in and then rig the competition? That's not real. It's not, hey, we have a couple left tackles. They're both really good. Let them, let's see who can win this, and then maybe we move on to guard or slide him to the right side.
Yeah,
it's a totally different animal when you're taking a quarterback number one overall. And frankly, if you're going to take a guy number one at a quarterback number one, and then you're like, okay, but now let's have him compete. You shouldn't be taking that quarterback number one in that situation.
Like I said, we're like-minded. We all feel the same way. I'm going to go Joniak into calling me soft when he joins us at 6, and then I'm going to give him the business. Are you surprised, Charles? Sylvie and I say this all the time. We've been in this business for a very long time. We've been fans of this team for a very long time. So I don't know how, maybe it is the same in Philly and it's everywhere else. I don't recall in any sports situation where there has been this much angst between those that support Justin Fields and what he's accomplished and what they think he can go on to do, and those that believe it's time to move forward and draft a quarterback.
I can give you a one-for-one that happened literally in the last 5 years. What, 6 years, 5 years? I got killed when at the Combine I wrote several years ago, the Cardinals are going to take Kyler Murray number one. Josh Rosen, who you just took last year with, I think it was the 10th overall pick, they're going to deal him. And the Rosen camp came out, you're crazy, you're nuts, Kyler's a shrimp, he's little, Rosen's a pure passer. Now, in the rear view, it looks hilarious. Hilarious that this was even a... I mean, even if you don't like Kyler, we can still all agree that was an absolutely absurd argument that people were having at this time. But it lasted right up until... And remember, they didn't trade Josh until the draft. So that went on for a really long time, and I think this is different. I think Fields is a much better athlete. He's much more talented than Josh Rosen was, and I think his mentality in the locker room is a completely different, animal as well. So, but the difference is, the reason why this is problematic for Fields is just the landscape. It's the landscape. I'll give you a good example. Today, Seattle was sort of the natural, when you call around, you say, okay, where's the fit here? Help me find the fit. Seattle did come up. It was a team that a few different people were, and I called some people who used to be in the building in Seattle who have since been out and they're in other organizations. I'm like, what do you think, would Schneider be interested in this? And,
to a man, what I was told is the problem with Justin continues to be 1 year of control. There's 1 year of control. So then Howell ends up there today, and people are like, what is this? This doesn't make any sense. Like, is it, he's definitely not more valuable than Justin Fields. I don't think he is, but he's got 2 years of control. Desmond Ridder has 2 years of control. You are bringing in Fields. You're not triggering the fifth. No one. The only way you're triggering the fifth-year option is if you're saying he's our starter walking in. And that's the message you're sending to him. You're our starter walking in. We're going to trigger the fifth. You're our guy. And right now there are no teams willing to do that. So that 1 year of control, it dramatically clips what your options really are, which is why Philly, to me, the reason why Philly makes sense is the offense is – knock it off. Sorry, I got dogs here. the offensive scheme – yeah, he's – don't even – I'm like trying to get started. He doesn't even like this. He's a field guy. So
perfect.
So, and also more reputable than some people on Twitter.
Does he bite?
yeah, like the Justin Fields crowd does. Yeah. So they all match. Okay, so look, Philly, he matches, like, in terms of the scheme, what they like to do, how they could maximize him if he were to have to start. He is a good fit for things that they could do on the field for him. They could, if they wanted to get cute with it, even, you know, do the Taysom Hill thing and design a couple of plays for him. Whether it's, let's say, two-point plays or whatever, because, you know, he has that skill set. I don't know that they would necessarily want to do that. He has value. Howie Roseman sees value. He's looking, by the way, for a backup quarterback right now with starting experience, somebody who's experienced. You know, Jalen Hurts takes a lot of punishment. So there's a reality. I mean, I'm not wishing this into existence, God forbid. But, I mean, you know, what if Jalen Hurts goes down for a sustained period? You want somebody who matches up with your scheme, who has starting experience, who shows potential. And then let's say you get to the trade deadline and there's no Fields market. They'd still be okay. They're like, that's fine. We have an experienced backup for a relatively cheap price tag. And, you know, so we get them for 1 year. And even and this is going way down the rabbit hole here, but if Kellen Moore has one good season in Philly, okay, in 2024, he's going to be at the top of head coaching lists, right? If Kellen Moore leaves, let's say he has a great year in Philly, say Fields goes there, he's backup all season long. Kellen Moore goes somewhere else. He, you know, he has one great year in Philly, ends up with a team, and hey, you know, they got a quarterback problem, so they got to bring somebody in. He just spent an entire season looking at Justin Fields in practice, teaching him his playbook, all these different things. So it's even, there's even some potential upside if you're an agent sitting there trying to facilitate a trade. There's even some upside maybe for your guy in 2025 when he's going to be a free agent and looking to sign with a team. So all that said, there's the one drawback of Philly, realistically, is the fear that you bring in a guy who's really talented and God forbid Hurts struggles like he did down the stretch last season. And for whatever reason, Fields gets a look and looks good. And then you start a quarterback controversy. You don't want that to happen in your organization. So I think on the front end, let's say if this ever happened with Philly, I think they would make it very clear. Hurts is our guy. Like, this is our backup. This is just about having some experience. You know, we like Justin's game. We like his fit. We think he would very adequately be able to take over the offense if something were to happen. But it's just about making sure we have our bases covered from a veteran depth standpoint who fits our scheme.
Charles Robinson joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie. Charles, is there any possibility in your mind that the Bears are totally pulling off the biggest ruse ever and they don't trade Justin Fields and they don't draft Caleb Williams?
He's still on the roster, right? I mean, that's the possibility. Like, it's nothing's 100% until he's off the roster. So if people are like, what's the percentage chance, you know, that he's – as long as he's on the roster, there's a chance that he remains on the roster and that they don't ultimately draft, you know, Caleb at one. I'd foresee them, then they'd have to be dealing the pick. I don't know. You know, that's too rich for Marvin Harrison Jr. at one, I got to believe. And I do think that you would have – the appetite for someone to move up for Caleb. So, I can't entirely rule that out. And believe me, initially when Seattle was covered up with Howell, look, I'm not going to lie, in the back of my mind, I'm like, man, what if this is just the greatest long play ever? Like, what if this is just what if the reason why Seattle didn't look at him is because, you know, he's not as available as everybody seems to think? I don't think that's the case because, I've talked to some other GMs that perceive him as being available, but that the price is not what they would be comfortable with. So to me, I'm like, there has to have had some conversations right between some of these teams to get an idea that there's a price there. But, you know, Poles could also be sitting there going, all right, well, I'm still kind of 50-50 on it, so let me see what the value is. So those conversations did happen while still going through his own process in terms of, you know, this draft. So if it's a long play, I will just straight up say it now. Greatest, I mean, best one I've seen. Like, this is so, you know, for this to play out the way that it has and someone not to pop off that, hey, now they're keeping him and they're just slow playing this right now to see what they can get out of that one. He's done an absolutely masterful job.
If that's not the case, Charles, do you think that that Ryan Poles has misplayed this in any way, shape, or form, if he's not looking to keep him?
I don't, only because the market changed, and I don't think you could have foreseen it changing the way that it did. Like, the looking at it now, if we're going to do the Monday morning quarterback thing, the time to deal him was last offseason, okay? Because that's when I think they still could have gotten peak value for him. I think, you know, you've had two quarterbacks sitting there on the board, obviously one of which really showed that he's made for this game and he's a quality starter. But again, I think he, you know, playing it out another year, kind of seeing what they had, I had no problem with that. Now, I don't want to go back and bash it just because some things happened that you couldn't have anticipated. So, for example, like, we couldn't have known. I mean, it wasn't that crystal clear that the Broncos were going to move off of Russ, right? Or that Russ was going to end up with a team in the Pittsburgh Steelers that liked Justin Fields quite a bit when he came out in the draft. We couldn't have known that another veteran would eat up another spot in Kirk Cousins. And unfortunately, the spot that Cousins leaves open, that he vacates as a starter, is in your division. So you really can't, you know, you can't deal Justin Fields inside the division, because if he turns the corner and then you spend 10 years with this guy womping on you in your division, it's an utter disaster, not for your GM, who would be gone by then, not for your head coach, who would be gone by then, likely. It would be a disaster for ownership, because they'd have to hear it from fans forever in perpetuity that look what you did. So I don't blame Poles. And also, even the rookie class, you know, Drake, we heard Drake May, Caleb Williams, a year ago, you know, all this last season, hey, these guys are going to be 1-2. No one saw Jaden Daniels coming the way that he did. You know, J.J. McCarthy, I don't know that people, it's still kind of split on him out there when you talk to people, but clearly he wins a lot of interviews. Clearly the talent is there to make him a first-round pick. You know, so that's just, when you have two veterans who are out there eating up jobs, and then one of them leaves open a job in your division where you can't trade your guy, and then you have four quarterbacks, minimum four, who look like first-round picks, that just eats up so much starting real estate. And then again, when you pair it, and I cannot underscore this enough, I really want fans to understand this, when you pair it with a player who you're trying to trade, who realistically only has a one-year window for a team to make a decision on him, it's just really difficult. It's unfortunate that played out this way, but I don't put it on Poles that this is his fault.
Right. Charles, great stuff. You're great at what you do. We appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks, Charles.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it, guys. Take care.
There you go. Charles Robinson. Really good guest. Yes. Good stuff. If you want to react, 332-3776. And Jeff Joniak, the voice of the Bears, on the way at 6 o'clock. Guys, the weather's changing here. Bart, you know how it is. One day it's warm, the next day it's cold. It could be the same in one day, like today. How's your windows handling everything? Are they drafty? Are they foggy? Is it tough to see out of? Do they not open and shut the way they're supposed to? That's how mine were. And I finally called Window Nation at 866-90-NATION, 866-90-NATION. And I'm so glad that I did. Now my windows work well. I've saved money with the projects, and I saved money on my energy bills. Call them today, 866-90-NATION, or check out all they have to offer at windownation.com. Right now, you buy two windows, you get two free with no limit. You buy four, you get four free, but they're never going to upsell you. They're going to give you the free in-home estimate, and they're going to tell you what you need and what you don't need. And they told me, look, you can replace these, but these windows work great, and they've got a long life left. So I didn't have to replace a lot of the windows I thought I was going to have to replace, and it was a pleasant surprise. So they're going to shoot you straight. They're going to educate you on all the reasons why you have to do what you need to do. So call them. You're going to get the best customer service around. Plus, they're going to make it easy on you with zero down, zero interest, and no payments for 24 months. This is a family-owned business that started from the ground up. My guy, Alan Favati, is a Chicago guy. He's going to come over and give you that free in-home estimate. They've installed over 200,000 windows in the last year. So check them out today. Window Nation, 866-90-NATION or windownation.com, and let them know that Sylvie sent you.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Waddle and Sylvie are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Can I take one call really quick, and then we'll get to Joniak? Joniak's coming up at 6. Marcus in Minneapolis, our buddy, has been very patient, as he always is. Marcus, you're on with Waddle and Sylvie. What's on your mind?
Guys, man, you guys have this last hour I've been on hold was great radio.
Well, thank you. Appreciate you calling.
Yeah, for sure. You guys are my guys. I always say that from the beginning. Charles gave some great insight, and I just wanted to say I was telling, I think it's realistic. All signs are pointing that Justin Fields is going to stay on the roster. When you look at the moves that are being made and then the pressure, because it's year three, it's no longer going to be the rebuild excuse. They have to win this year. It's so many things. I know you guys have a call coming up, so I'll keep it to a minimum. But to me, all signs are pointing that he's staying, and I'm not saying that they won't draft Caleb. I'm just saying, and I know you don't like the idea, Sylvie, that both could possibly even be on the roster. I'm not saying it's the smartest. But you know what I do like about what Charles did? He was open to all scenarios. And this is one thing that I think Cap is he's going too far on the Caleb thing. He's just so sure that they're going to draft Caleb Williams. And like Charles said, if Fields is on the roster, it's possible that he's going to be there and they could not draft Caleb.
Right.
And that's what I was saying. Like, he's given both scenarios. And I think, you know, whatever side you want, you have to be realistic that both things could still happen.
Right. Look, we don't think that it's going to happen, but it may. Yeah, I'm not, I've got no insight into it. I'm not going to tell anyone that you're crazy to think the Fields may be here. And we've always said, just get it right.
I'm not telling you that I know for a fact what's going to happen. I'm just telling you what I would do. Emphatically, I would not bring them both in. That's just not what I would do.
Right, right.
Don't make me right. Just, that's my opinion.
All right, Joniak is going to join us here. It's a Bears Weekly night. We've got Bears Weekly coming up at 6:30 on the days that we have Bears Weekly. We crosstalk with Jeff Joniak. Some days he's in North Carolina just finishing up a road trip. Other days he's at Hallis Hall getting ready to do the show. I think that's one of the days today. We love him. He is the outstanding voice of the Chicago Bears. He's our crazy uncle, Jeff Joniak, and he joins us next.